Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
And today I want to talk to you about actually probably the first Bible story I ever heard when I was a child, David and Goliath, and is actually the first sermon I ever preached. I just realized that, Pam, that the first time I ever tried to preach, it was about a 10-minute sermon. I told everything I knew and then some, and preached about David and Goliath, and fortunately people stayed around to listen. And so today I want to share with you a message that I believe the Lord gave me for you. And especially, you think, well, this is for the children. No, it's for you, called Facing the Giants. When I was a little boy, probably about 11 years old, there was a bully on my block. And he was a big guy, much bigger than me. And I was afraid of him, and he knew it. And he would stop me on my bicycle. He'd grab me by my shirt collar, and he would bully me around. And, you know, he was saying, if you ever come back over here on my block again, I'm going to beat you up. And I was afraid of him because he was big. And so I just remember him and being very, very intimidated by him. But there came a time in my life where I realized I had to deal with him. I couldn't keep running for him. One day my parents found out that I had been bullied by this guy, and I wasn't standing up for him. In fact, I cowered. I was afraid of him. In fact, if I saw him coming down the road this way, I would go the other way because I didn't want to have to face him. And my parents heard about it, and they told me, both my mom and dad said, you've got to stand up to him. You've got to not be afraid of him. Even if you have to fight, that you fight, but don't you run. Do not be afraid. And so I did what I had my parents told me to do, and I'm going to tell you the end of that story at the end of the message, what happened. I almost forgot. Dale and Helen Parrott, I have to have you come up here and stand. I almost forgot. If you weren't sitting right there, I'd have kept right on flying. This precious couple have been married for 50 years. And they celebrate that. Not many people can do that. And it is time to honor such a vow that you both have taken before the Lord. And I'm sure you've had all kinds of trying situations in your life. But you found God's grace to overcome. Is there one bit of advice that you would like to give to this congregation? Dale, I'm going to ask you first. Is there one bit of advice to make a marriage go at least to the 50-year mark?
Well, it ended up being the main thing is to trust in God. It, like everything else, you've got to grow together and be as one. And then once you decide and realize that it's not just you, it's both of you, then everything will work out fine.
And a lot of wisdom there. Thank you, my brother. And how about you, Helen?
It's the same as what Dale said. You know, it's trust in God. Ask him to come into you and listen for him. Have the joy in your heart. Know that now it's not just you, it's two of us. And now we're one when we got married. And you're going to have your problems. You're going to have your bumpy roads, your happy times, and your sad times. But, oh, my, you know, just trust in the Lord, and he will get you through it. And what do I expect? A song sung to me every night and a kiss.
Oh, how about that? Do you do that?
Yes, sir.
What song do you like to sing?
You Are My Sunshine.
You Are My Sunshine. You are my sunshine,
my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You know I love you, oh my darling. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Just stretch your hand toward them and let's just bless them in the name of the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you have put two trophies of grace before us today, and we are witnesses to the testimony of your glory. As they trust in you, you've brought them this far, and you will continue. Lord, may they continue to be blessed in every day, and Lord, may you continue to use them and use their life and their testimony to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you for Dale and Helen, and we bless them, and we celebrate with them. We rejoice with those who rejoice this day on their 50th anniversary. Amen and amen. Bless you guys. Oh, well, I want to take you to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And it's there we see the story recorded for us of David and Goliath. And I'm not going to read it because you are very, very familiar with it, I'm sure. And David represents, in a prophetic type, David represents all of us who are God's children, all of us who are born from above, all who belong and trust in the Lord. And Goliath, on the other hand, represents Satan, the one who defies God, the one who tries to intimidate, the one who tries to cause terror. Goliath was a Philistine. And as one of the little girls said, he was from the city of Gath, a Philistine city. And a Philistine was a certain type of person. In fact, the word Philistine actually means to deviate from the true course, to deviate from the path. So Satan is going to bring Philistines in your life to cause you to deviate from the true course that God has for you. Amen. And actually, the word Palestine actually comes from the word Philistia. And it was at that time when the Philistines inhabited the land was called Palestine, a form of the word Philistine, the land of the Philistines. It's really not proper to call Israel Palestine today because the Philistines are no longer in charge. Hallelujah. And so we have this giant of a man named Goliath. And he is a huge, huge man. In fact, very intimidating. And he is so intimidating that when the time comes for battle, Israel shows up on one side of a valley called the Valley of Elah. It's still there today. You can visit it in Israel. And on the other side, the Philistine army. And they would come and make an encampment. And both sides made an encampment. They had all their soldiers there on both sides, and they were going to have a huge, huge battle. And Goliath was there. And he wasn't the only giant, by the way. He had four other brothers, or there were four other giants. Remember when David went to the little creek down there, and he got five smooth stones. He wasn't getting five stones in case he missed one. He was getting five stones because there were five giants. He named one for every one of them. I got you, I got you, and I got you, and I got you. And this Goliath, his name actually means to uncover or to reveal and to make obvious. He stood exactly 9 foot, 9 inches tall. That's 9 foot, 9 inches right there. 9 foot, 9 inches tall. Wow. I come to maybe his waist. Who's about 14 or 15 years old? No, 14 or 15 years old. I need a 14 or 15. If you are at that age, come up here and stand. That's about the age of David, probably 15, maybe 16 years old. And that was about the size of David. There you go. Okay. There you go. And so this is what he had to face. This is what he had to deal with. Thank you, ladies. And so just so you got an idea, a picture in your mind of what David was up against. His armor weighed 150 pounds. And for 40 days, this giant of a guy would walk out in front of his army, and he would say to them, over to Israel's camp, he would yell and say, "You send out your best man. Come and fight me. And if you win, we'll become your servants. But if we win, you'll serve us." And he did this for 40 days. 40 is a number of judgment. For 40 days, this same one, this same giant came out and tried to intimidate and terrorize all of Israel. For 40 days, he came out and said the same thing. There wasn't one man in Israel's army, even though they were hardened warriors, there wasn't one man willing to take on this giant. He was very intimidating. Mr. Goliath, we're glad that you're here today in church with us. He doesn't talk much, but we're glad you're here. And he's actually kind of quiet, and he's going through anger management classes right now. And he doesn't like me to talk about that. I'm very sorry. I won't talk about that. But what was it like that day when David came out? What were you thinking when he came? He just doesn't like me to talk about that. So I won't talk about that in front of him. Now, Mr. Goliath is going to be here today in church with us. In fact, he has agreed that after church, he'll meet you out front. And if you'd like a picture standing next to him, then he'll do that. If you'll buy a hamburger and help the children go to kids camp, okay? You get a free picture. Thank you, Mr. Goliath. We're really glad you're here. Well, God was obviously watching this situation from heaven. And why do you think God was allowing this giant to do this for 40 days? Why do you think God was allowing this intimidation to go on for 40 days? Well, it's the same thing is true in your own life. Why does God allow the enemy of your soul, the devil, to try to wear you down? Or have the problem that comes up in your life and it keeps coming up over and over and over again. You think you got it solved one time and then it keeps coming up again. And it won't go away no matter how much you try. Maybe, just maybe, God wants you to face this thing, look it right in the eyes, and deal with it in the name and in the strength and the grace of the Lord instead of running from it. See, the giant doesn't go away. You can call your giant by a different name, but the giant in your life, it's intimidating you and it's trying to crush the life out of you. It's not going away. And God sees it, and God won't make it go away. He's trying to make the David inside of you come out so that you can see with you and God, you can face anything without being afraid, and God's grace is enough to help you deal with this thing, you see. So this giant won't go away. You can get other people to pray for you, that's fine. But at the end of the day, it's you and your giant. And it can be a lonely experience. But God doesn't want you to depend on other people. He wants you to learn you can depend upon Him alone and trust Him. Not another person's face. And so God wants you to deal with this and find out He's really all that you need. And so no one from Israel's camp was willing to volunteer. One day, David's father sent David, who was a young shepherd boy back home, sent him with some supplies to the army camp and to check on his brothers and see how they were doing. And while he's there, he hears this big giant shouting at Israel's army. What he's done for almost 40 days. "Send your best man over here. Send me a warrior to fight with. If we lose, we'll serve you. If we win, you serve us." And when David sees this, he wonders why there's no one. There's not a person who's volunteering. There's not a person there saying, hey, I'll take care of this. God will help me. God will be my strength. There's no one there. What would you have done? What would you have done if you were there that day and this giant said, send me somebody? What would you have done? Anybody going to tell me? What would you have done? What would you have done?
Pray to Jesus.
Pray to Jesus. Yeah, that's a good thing to do. Anything else? What would you have done? Because you're facing this, whether you believe it or not. It's not just a story in the Bible. It's there to help you realize that one time or another, you're going to face a very intimidating, fearful situation in your life. And David goes to the king and he says, Master, don't give up hope. Don't lose hope. I'm ready to go and fight the Philistine, 1 Samuel 17:32. I'm ready. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? How come David, who was the youngest person there, probably the smallest person there, how did he get so much courage and confidence to face a giant probably almost twice or three times his size? That's a good question. What was David's job? I asked one of the children. They knew. What was David's job? What did he do on a regular basis? Shepherd. Take care of sheep. Nasty job. And so he goes out and he has to tend to sheep. And sometimes he might be out there all night long looking up at the stars. When you're out in the open like that and there's nobody there to talk to, maybe you're the only shepherd taking care of your father's sheep, you got a lot of time on your hands. How many of you know sheep don't talk? You can talk to them, but they don't talk to you. So David has a lot of time on his hands, and David talks to God. In fact, the Bible says he was very good at playing an instrument similar to a guitar. And I imagine out on a starry night, many a night, he took his guitar out. And as he talked to God through the day, as he meditated upon the Lord and how good God is and stuff, he would just sing songs. He'd make up songs called spiritual songs to the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he would just sing to God out there all by himself at night and just have a worship time with God. And he got stronger every time. And then he would make up another song. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And he would worship God. Worshiping God makes you stronger. Worshiping God strengthens the inside muscles that you need to face anything on the outside. Worshiping God makes you the man that God intends for you to be. You begin to magnify the Lord. God doesn't need magnification, but through your lens, you begin to see God is bigger than any mountain you'll ever face, any giant you'll ever face. You begin to magnify the Lord. And David was an honest man. Even when he sinned and when he failed God, he would sing and he would worship God. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Maybe somebody needs to sing that today. Just be honest with God. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit in me. See, as a worshiper, he got stronger. All these things I'm singing to you, they're psalms written in your Bible. God liked them so much that he wrote them down and said, oh, this is a keeper. We got to keep this. I want people in the year 2015 to be able to read this and take it and worship me like my David worshiped me. And so God liked these songs. He liked because David spent time with God. I was telling Carl, who was baptized this morning, spend time with God. That's how you get stronger in the Lord. Spend time with God. Talking to God. And listen to see if he wants to say something back to you. Singing to God. Worshiping God. Praying to God. Just honoring him. Living in the awareness of his presence. And so God made David a worshiper, and David worshiped the Lord. And because David worshiped the Lord, he got stronger and stronger and stronger. And David, being a shepherd, many times would be out there all alone at night. And I imagine sometimes when he was sitting out there watching the sheep, and got them all bedded down, he'd get his guitar out and he'd play a little bit and talk to God. And then be nights where you ever had the darkness just kind of creep up on you, give you the creeps, you know? David would have those moments just like you when you're in the dark and nobody's there with you. And David wrote, "When I'm afraid, I'll trust in you." He learned, "God, you're with me and you're for me. You're not against me." And David would get afraid. And one night particularly, there was something creeping around out there in the bushes. After he had all the sheep bedded down, he knew something. You know when you just know there's something out there. And he could hear the rustle of the bushes every once in a while, you know. And all of a sudden, he spotted it. It was a lion. And he took his sling and he said, "God, help me, God. This thing's stronger than me. If I miss, Lord, he's going to attack me. Lord, if I don't get him, he's going to get me. Lord, I trust in you. Help me, God. Help me, God." And he killed a lion because he asked for God's help and God helped him. And then another night he was out there all alone in the dark and he heard a I just did that to see if I could get anybody to jump. And it was a bear. And the bear rushed in and snatched one of the little lambs and had it right in its mouth. And David again grabbed his sling and said, "God, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord." It's one of those flare prayers where you just say, "Help me, Lord." It's one of the best prayers you can ever pray. Flare prayer. "Help me, Lord." And he slung that thing and bam. That bear just toppled over, and David went over there and pulled that lamb right out of his mouth just in the nick of time. This is true. This really happened. And these little things that David faced made him strong enough in the Lord to realize that there is nothing too difficult for the Lord. The things you have gone through already in your life are your history with God. They're to show you that whatever giant shows up in your life ahead, you've already dealt with a lion and a bear. What's a Goliath to you? You and God are a majority. What have you been afraid of? Don't run from your giant. Face your giant. Stand up to it. With God, anything is possible. So David went after these things, and he saw God was with him. So since no one volunteered in the army, can you imagine an army full of warriors and not one of them volunteered to fight this giant? And so David says, "I'll go. All you have to do is be available." David wasn't the smartest guy. He wasn't the biggest guy. He wasn't the strongest guy of anything, but he was available. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for somebody to say, "Lord, here am I, send me. I don't know much. I'm not strong enough. I may not have a real good record in my past, but Lord, I'm available. And if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me." Can I have a witness from somebody? David already knew that God and him were enough to deal with anything. And so David puts on Saul's armor. First of all, Saul, the king says, "Here, take my armor, son. I mean, take all my stuff and go out and face this thing for us and be our champion." No one ever really expected him to do anything, never expected him to win. They were just stalling. At least they had somebody. And David puts on this armor and it's bulky. And he said, "I can't wear this stuff. You can't wear somebody else's armor to go fight your own battle. You can't live off of somebody else's faith." And so he takes his stuff off and he says, "Now let me just do this the way God's done it before." And he goes down to the river and he picks him up 5 smooth stones out of the riverbed, puts them in his shepherd's pouch, and he says, "I'm ready. I'm ready." And then what happens is that he begins to walk out to face this giant. And the giant looks at him and the giant says, "Ah! That's what he said. That's giant talk. Translated, it means, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? You're just a kid, a punk kid at that. You come to me with sticks and rocks like I'm a dog. Today, I'm going to pound you into dirt, and I'm going to make your mama cry, your papa cry, and I'm gonna feed your body to the buzzards and the coyotes. Rawr! Give me a rah. Come on, give me a rah. That's pitiful. That's why I'm up here preaching and you're not right now. And so he says that in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, the giant says, he said that to him. And David says back to him, you come to me with a sword and a spear, and I come to you in the name of God Almighty, the God who you made fun of. And this very day, God is handing you over to me, and I'm about to kill you and serve your body and the bodies of all your army buddies and to the crows and the coyotes. And the whole earth is going to know that God doesn't save by the means of a sword or spear. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he's handing you over to me. Now, that's in the Bible so that you can learn how to talk to your giants. See, they're talking to you all the time. They're telling you what you can't do. They're telling you how you're not intelligent enough. They're telling you how you're not talented enough. They're telling you how you're not faithful enough. They're always telling you these things, and they're talking trash to you. You don't have to talk trash. You just have to say the truth. And you stand up to the enemy and you tell him, no, look, God and I are enough for you. Your day is over. Your day is numbered. Devil, your day is, I'm kicking you out of here today. And today your carcass is done. You're toast, buddy. And David, talk back to him. You got to talk back to your giant. You got to talk back to your giant. And boy, when this happened, oh my. When this happened, he got so mad. Ooh, you should, ooh, he said, rah! He ran toward David, and David ran too. The good news is he didn't run away. David ran, but he ran right to him. And the Bible makes it very clear what he did, what he heard. And all of his brothers and all of Israel's army said, oh, I can't stand to look at it. Oh, no. I can't. Close your eyes. I can't stand to look at it. And David took his rock out and his sling, and he slung that thing. And they, while they had their eyes closed, singing, oh, it's the last time we ever saw David. And at that moment, we heard a loud pop. Sounded like a rock hitting wood. And the rock came out of David's sling, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it hit him right between the eyes. And the giant just began to fall. And David ran up, took Goliath's sword, and stabbed him, and then cut off his head. And picked up the giant's head for everybody to see. And everybody in the once they uncovered their eyes, they all expected David to be a piece of meat on the ground. And looked up, and there's David, chopped off the giant's head. And the people are going, what in the world did we just see happen? You saw a miracle from the God of miracles. Because David didn't do this in his own strength and his own power. He did it in the name and for the honor and for the glory of the Lord, you see. Did you know that when David was getting ready to face Goliath, he picked up five smooth stones, as I said earlier. Why five? Yes, it's a number of grace. Was it possible that, well, if I miss one, I'll have another? No, he had no backup. Actually, there were five giants on that field. You can read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 21. And three of them are specifically named. And God doesn't put someone's name in the Bible just for the name of it. He puts their name in the Bible because the name means something. And in 2 Samuel 21, we see there were other giants there that day. Of course, they didn't fight because they fled. As soon as this happened, the enemy was so intimidated by the faith of David, and the Israelite army was so encouraged by the faith of one little boy that they ran against the Philistines and chased them all the way back to where they came from. And they slew many of them. But the names of these giants are revealed. I want to quickly give them to you in 2 Samuel, and they mean something. The first one's name in 2 Samuel 21 is the name Ishbi-benod. Ishbi-benod means, the name means, I belong above. So he'd be the giant of pride. He would be the giant of pride. Pride is a giant you're going to have to deal with in your life. Pride takes on many forms. Sometimes pride is not the big boastful kind of thing that someone's standing out bearing their chest and their muscles. Sometimes pride is hidden under shyness. Well, I'm afraid if I go up there and answer that altar call, people are going to think I got problems. Well, you know what your problem is? It's not shyness. Your problem is pride. It's a giant that needs to be slain in your life. God gives grace to the humble, not to the proud. And we're to humble ourselves before the Lord. And God will give you grace and he'll lift you up. A second giant is mentioned in 2 Samuel. His name is Saph, S-A-P-H. The name means double face. And I would say he's the giant of hypocrisy. And boy, is there a big giant called hypocrisy in religion today, where people act like they're something and they're really not. God has called us to be just people saved by his grace and his wonderful mercy. We're to be transparent. Yes, we have issues. Yes, we have problems. And we need to let it be known that we don't have it all together. Nobody's got it all together except Jesus. And we don't need to put on a show and act like we're something that we're not. And the giant of hypocrisy has to be slain in your life. And then the third giant was the name Lahmi, L-A-H-M-I. He was known for his giant spear, the largest spear in the world, and for how heavy it was. And he was very intimidating because of this spear. He could throw it for a long distance and hit the target. And I would say to you that he's the giant of fear. And to my knowledge, I think the giant of fear is probably the greatest giant the church faces today. Because people are not stepping into who God's called them to be. They're not becoming the Davids. They're not becoming the conquerors. They're being the conquered because of fear. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And he wants you to conquer the spirit of fear in your life, whatever it may be and however it may be coming into you. The giant of fear. And then finally, there was the giant. His name is not mentioned, but a description of him. He had six fingers and six toes. The giant of covetousness. The giant of, I've got to hang on to things. The giant of greed. And that's an issue that every one of us have to face. We brought nothing in this world and we take nothing with us. When the Holy Spirit whispers to you, give this, help that person, empty your savings account, give that person some money, feed that person, take time with that person, then you need to do it to conquer the giant of greed and covetousness. The things that God has given you in your life, he's given you to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And you've not turned the blessing in your life into a blessing until you give what you have to bless somebody else. And it's not always material things. Remember, I told you about my bully that I was facing in school. Well, several years went by, and now I was a teenager. And one day, I had been sick and tired of him bullying me around. And I'd had enough. Sometimes you got to get to the place where you say, I've had enough of this. Devil, I've had enough. Enough is enough. And you're not pushing me around any longer. And I'd had enough. And I decided that the next time I see him, I was going to stand up to him. And if I had to fight, I was going to fight. He was much bigger than me, much stronger. But I was not going to continue to cower and run and be afraid any longer. And so if I had to fight, I was going to do the best I could. And for the first time in my life, when he came up to me, I looked him right in the eyes. And he started messing with me and about to say something, about to grab me, about, and just saying some nasty things to me. And I looked him right in the eye. And for the first time, I said, "What do you want with me?" And that stunned him. And he began to stutter. And when he stuttered, I knew I had him. I did not decrease my stare. I stared right into his eyes. And he finally said, "Oh, nothing, man. I was just messing with you." And he turned around and walked away and never had a problem with him again. Never had a problem. And that could have happened a long time ago if I'd have been willing to face my giant of fear. I'm telling you, God has already given you what you need to face whatever giant you have in your life. He's already given it to you. And the reason you've prayed and you prayed, and "God, take this thing away. God, make this thing stop hurting me." And he hasn't done it, is because he knows inside you is a David who can find the grace from God to face that giant. And God wants you to have the victory in your life. Watch your giant fall down. Hallelujah. Four lessons and I'm done. Four lessons we learn about facing the giants. Number one, facing the giants can be a fearful experience. It is fearful. It is frightening. Facing the giants can be a fearful experience. Number two, facing the giants can be a lonely experience. You're wondering, why isn't somebody helping me? Why isn't somebody bailing me out? Why hasn't God sent somebody? God wants you to stop overestimating the power of the enemy and stop underestimating the power of God. You and God are majority. And if you'll listen to your words in the past 24 hours, you can tell who you've been trusting in. Listen to your words. It's a lonely experience, but God is with you and you're not alone. And God wants you to depend upon him rather than somebody else. Number three, facing the giants while trusting God is a faith-building experience. God wants to build your faith. He has actually set you up. Divine setups in your life where you can't run, you can't hide. You've got to face this thing. You've got to find grace from God. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know that the weapons of your warfare are more than enough. You've got to know that God has the victory on this thing. And so God purposely sets you up to face this giant that you'd rather run away from. It's faith building. And finally, facing the giants.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.